today we get another example of how rich the liturgical life is. The gospel is just by itself a very powerful one about the greatest of all the commandments, love. And the first reading is a beautiful story about marriage, which we could take that by itself and learn a lot of vital lessons from it. Love and marriage, love and marriage. They go together, of course. And then we have today's saints, the heroic martyrs of Uganda. So taken together, these two readings and these saints are a really rich banquet for the spiritual life. Maybe we can start, rather than starting with love and marriage, let's start with these martyrs, because the greatest commandment is to love, and the greatest love is to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's what Jesus said, there's no greater love than to lay down your life in love for another. So these martyrs of Uganda, 22 of them, are examples of the greatest love. Descriptions of their sufferings are sometimes couched in careful euphemisms in the Liturgy of the Hours book. It says that they were killed because they resisted the unreasonable demands of the king. Well, unreasonable demands can mean a lot of things. The truth is, he was demanding homosexual relations with them. Maybe that's not politically correct to say anymore, but that was the fact of it. The king, I think his name was Mwanga. Anyway, now this is in what we call Uganda, but in that time, this is late 19th century, it was still governed by mostly the tribal structure. So he was an absolute ruler, and he had many wives, he had many children, but he also had this homosexual inclination that he wanted to use some of his pages for his own pleasure. Before the introduction of Christianity, there would have been a very little basis for resisting such a thing, because the king was the absolute ruler and he also had authority, religious authority. So he had absolute authority, and you don't say no to the king. But once the gospel was proclaimed in that area, and this is early, and this is quite early in the evangelization of that section of East Africa, once the gospel is proclaimed, suddenly the people have a whole new basis for determining what's right and what's wrong. God and his moral law. And so Charles Lwanga knew this very well. Some of the younger pages were just being schooled. Some of them had just been baptized. They didn't know that much, but they knew that you follow God. They knew that the first commandment, love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and all your strength. God first, not king first. So that fundamental truth gave them the strength, the courage to be able to say no to the king. Or really what they tried to do was avoid the king. I mean, that's really what they did, because once you're in a position of force, it's harder to resist. But what they would do is maneuver to get away from him before they were in a compromising situation. So this was it. The first commandment is love of God, and these young men of Uganda, they took it seriously and expressed their love for God by resisting all evil. Love. It's a story of love. It's also a tragic story. It's a story of terrible torture, threats and torture and death, but ultimately a victory of love, the greatest love first love God, then second love of neighbor. Beautiful how they even supported each other in their faithfulness to their newfound faith. Okay, so that's an example of love. The commandments of love are made very clear by Jesus: love God, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment. There's no other commandment greater than these, Jesus says. And the scribe who asked him about it says, you're right. You're right. And Jesus says, you're right too. Let's agree on this. At least we should know that love is the most important thing. Now, in our culture, now we're not living in 19th century Uganda, we're living in 21st century Philippines, and the idea of love is often badly distorted or badly misunderstood. And when love is misunderstood, marriage is guaranteed to be misunderstood. Because if you don't have love, how can you have marriage? So the gospel puts in place the right understanding of love. The first reading introduces a right understanding of marriage. It's a beautiful story, this book of Tobit. And here we only get little pieces of it. If you see from the citations, a few verses from chapter 6, more verses from chapter 7, a few more verses from chapter 8. So it's kind of chopped up, and we just get these excerpts. Some of the great details are left out. The whole business about the fish and about how the demon was driven away, and then the parents of Sarah, who have been through this 7 times and know the guy's going to die. They dig a grave, you know that? They dig a grave secretly because they know he's going to die, so they might as well get ready for it and not be embarrassed, hide him away since no one knew he was there anyway. And then when they find out that he's alive in the morning, they have to fill in the grave right away. It's a great story. But at the heart of it is a right understanding of marriage. That marriage is something designed, given by God. And you marry according to the law of God. It's not simply about pleasure or about relationships that are appealing to us. It's about love of God and love of neighbor in its highest form. In fact, it's about sacrifice. Now, of course, this is from a different culture, and it looks from this reading like the sacrifice is the sacrifice of Raguel and Edna, the parents of Sarah, because he's the one who's giving away his daughter. And it doesn't say what Sarah had in mind, so this is not how we think of it now. Maybe the parents will also sign the marriage contract, but the key people to make the decision about marriage are the bride and the groom. So that's, some people would find this reading offensive because in modern times, because the father of the bride acts as if he's selling a piece of property and then signing the contract. Here, I'm giving her to you. This is the deal. And that is how it was sometimes thought. No, a woman was almost treated like property, and sometimes you had to pay for her with the dowry and all that. You had to pay for a bride. And so different cultures have different distortions. We have improved our understanding of human dignity to know that you don't just give people away or sign them off in a contract. But we have lost the sense of what love is. Love as a gift of oneself. Very often people think of love as what makes me fulfilled, what satisfies my deepest longing. That's not how it works. We can't be satisfied by filling ourselves. We can only be satisfied by giving ourselves. Because the very basis of everything is love, and love is gift. We celebrated this on Sunday. Feast of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is a community of love. It's a community of selfless love, pouring out of oneself to the other, each to the other. And God is all about gift. Well, not gift and receiving of the gift, this mutual gift. It doesn't make sense to just give yourself to nothing. We're not talking about throwing our lives away. We're talking about making a gift and receiving the gift of one another, and that's marriage. So here, Tobiah is, well, first of all, he's looking for a wife. He knows that this is his vocation, and he's gone to find a wife. Here's the woman who he knows God has chosen this woman for him. He knows the story that seven guys have already died. So naturally, he's aware of the risk here. And this is the beautiful thing about it. It's one thing to say, I'm going to marry because I'm going to be satisfied with my beloved for the rest of my life. It's another thing to say, I'm going to take the risk of giving myself to her. I'm going to put my life on the line for her. That's love. And that's really what we do in marriage. Marriage is a very risky thing to do. You don't know how it's going to work out. What you know is, you can, and that's why you have to have a certain amount of maturity to marry. You have to be able to have enough self-possession to be able to give yourself away. That's why children can't marry. But in making that gift, saying, I'm taking the risk that this gift will be misused or misunderstood, my best judgment of the other person, my spouse, is that this person is worthy to receive the gift, and I'm willing to accept the gift from him or her. So this is a mutual self-gift. It's done with a lot of care, prudence, a time of discernment, and then a risk. Love is always a risk. Maybe this will be the death of me. This is what Tobiah does. Maybe I'll die tonight. I'm going to do it anyway because God made this available for me. God has shown me this path, and I'll put my trust in him. That's why it's beautiful how after everybody leaves the bridal chamber, Tobiah says, wait a minute, let's pray first. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God. Now, like I say, it skipped that whole business about the fish, burning the fish and the incense and all that. But the central point is here. We're putting ourselves in the hands of God. It's not that we're doing this to satisfy our own desires. We're doing this out of obedience to God. In other words, the first commandment first. Love God above everyone else. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's what I'm doing, Sarah. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing together. Blessed are you, O God of our fathers. Praised be your name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all your creation praise you forever. They praise the Lord on their wedding night. You made Adam and you gave him his wife Eve to be his help and support. And from these two, the human race descended. So he's saying, this is the basis for marriage. God's plan, God's create from creation, God had it worked out this way. So I'm taking this wife not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. So have mercy on us. We're putting ourselves in your hands. That's what every married couple does, that they know what they're doing. They give themselves to one another in the sight of God. They entrust themselves to God and to one another. And the reason why it can be fruitful is because the first commandment is love of God. It can be fruitful because God established this pattern. It can even be fruitful when the human relationships break down. A person can still grow in love even when his or her love is not accepted. Can still grow holy even when the marriage faces difficulties. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth the risk. If you can't grow, then why? If you can't grow holy, if you can't grow in love, if you can't become a more loving person in this relationship, well, then don't get into it. But once you're in it, this is the way. This is the path. So it's a very beautiful topic to ponder in light of the commandments of love and in light of the example of the martyrs. This is the third day in a row we have martyrs. I mean, martyrdom is really a strong instruction for us, not only on faith, but on love. Love of God, above all things, means taking the risk that it's going to cost us even our life. Love of neighbor is also a risk. It might cost us our life. Well, what is love if it's not gift of self? So, in this week of the Holy Trinity, this week of divine love, we see that human love, genuine human love, is based on this model of selfless, mutual self-giving, which is extraordinarily fruitful for the human family, for the church, for the kingdom of God.